Good morning. Today is Thursday, the 25th of February. Joining us this morning is the Natalie Attired guy from the California Highway Patrol. What, you thought I wouldn't say anything?
Yes. I was hoping.
Why would I do that?
Yeah, just because I'm...
Because we're radio?
More, yeah. Nobody can see, so play it off. I'm in full uniform. I've got my campaign cover on. I'm saluting.
And your campaign buttons, too.
Yeah.
Paul Kraft. Good morning.
Thanks for throwing me under the bus, but yeah. Good morning also.
Oh, that explains the bus uniform then too, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the crosswalk signs.
Working a little bit more patrol these days. I'm going in tonight, so I decided to come in this morning.
Your number?
On my own time.
Your hours?
I'm just helping out, filling some holes in between vacation and sick days for people, then pull my weight and fill in.
Team player, is
I
that what
I still
you're
know
saying?
How to do the job a little bit, even though I spend a lot of time at a desk.
Yeah, well, you know, it does get you out and let you reconnect with the county, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Hello.
Are you
Sign
ready?
Sign here for speeding. No, just kidding.
Yeah. I'm just sitting in a chair, man.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see.
Hit me with some knowledge this morning.
Well, I've got two that are quasi-cuisine or culinary related.
Hmm.
I got... One is liquid and one is solid. Take your pick.
Let's go with the liquid.
All right, I kind of thought you might. Ever wonder why sellers of illegal whiskey are called bootleggers?
Bootleggers. Well, they have something to do with keeping their liquor in some type of flask tucked in their boot? Sneaking it in?
Kind of, sort of. You got some of the elements right.
It's almost a literal interpretation.
Yeah,
of it,
exactly.
So go ahead.
In the days of the Old West, when it was against the law to sell alcohol to Indians, disreputable peddlers would sometimes smuggle alcohol onto the Indian reservations by hiding flasks in the legs of their boots.
Yeah.
These smugglers became known as bootleggers, the term now meant to reference anyone who sells illegal alcohol. So you were right there.
You threw me a lob on that one.
Yeah, that was true.
Pretty easy.
Yeah. Well, it's just how Natalie attired you are. I didn't want to bust your chops.
Gosh. I thought I did okay, but...
Yeah.
My shirt's inside out. Not inside out.
Yeah. It's not upside down, so we'll just leave that one to the imagination, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, gee. So what are you hearing out of the state? I mean, we are hearing an awful lot about different areas that the governor is talking about with funding and things of that nature. Is any of the discussion so far talking about either additional responsibilities, additional funding, or any changes at all for the Highway Patrol?
Not hearing that. No. For us, from the beginning, everything's been... You know, the same, with the exception of taking the precautions for safety. There's no additional enforcement of anything other than just being out there actively patrolling. And I think when it comes to money and funding and that type of thing, it's going more towards the safety and wellness of the community. And we're just there to support in any way that we can when it comes to that.
Have you started to see anything with the, not legalization, but let's call it that, of... the drugs in Oregon, the retail sales of, or the decriminalization of possession. Have you started to see any changes here? I know earlier this month and last month, when talking with either the sheriff or with the police chief, Steve Watson, for Eureka, that there was concern. The 101 might become a corridor up out of the Bay Area, just as I-5 has been through the valley. For folks either going to or coming back from, and that there would be some impacts. Obviously, with Last Chance Grade closing, that's kind of put a little tourniquet on the situation. But were you seeing
strategic
anything?
On our part as far as reducing the flow into the...
That wasn't a new Fisher, huh? That was a CHP move.
Yeah.
Were you seeing any changes prior to the slip out?
I can't say that we've seen changes from that. You know, we've talked before about the time I spent at Drug Task Force, and even then, and this, you know, that was several years ago, just the 101 is used for transportation. I-5 is as well, but it is a viable alternative for the transportation of drugs through interstate and intrastate. it's hard to know what those numbers are because you're only seeing the ones that you stop, and those are the ones you're contacting. And the Drug Task Force was predominantly involved in that. Now, as an officer working on the highway, when you make a stop and you by default end up doing some interdiction through contact with the public, we really haven't seen an increase in that. The working in the office increase I see is more, way more people coming in for the like the regulations on the transportation vehicles for the legal side of things. There's been a huge influx in the registration of those vehicles. And
what do they have to do? Is there a special designation, or do you guys have a secret chart that you reference?
Yeah. Well, on that note, we have a unit that specializes in that. So our commercial unit has officers that are trained in the regulations for, as you would with any commercial vehicle, what they're required to have, their CA numbers, the registration, everything that has to be in order.
Oh, so they based need log books and things like that?
Depending on what they're transporting, where they transport it, and how big or what type of vehicle it is, yeah, it all changes individually between those.
Because we've seen the guys that pull over the big boy trucks.
Uh-huh.
You know, is same it kind guys. Of a division of that or
that
an element
same
of that?
Unit? That same unit is involved in that and the regulation of those. So they typically by appointment, we see them come in, and we have the officer that comes over from Reading would be the one that inspects those, and they are in charge of that.
So this fellow from Reading is specific to marijuana transportation?
No.
Or
he's specific to the commercial unit. Right. Okay. So he does, you know, he's also involved with other things in the department, involved with like VIN verifications, inspections of that nature. Part of that unit with the commercial unit because they're essentially commercial vehicles transporting a good throughout California or through California. They're responsible for verifying that they're keeping their stuff in order.
So. Yeah, I hadn't even thought, but it probably would make sense that would be a special niche to be able to monitor. I would think similar to some of the guys that carry the currency, you know, the Brinks trucks and guys like that.
Yeah.
It's a
and
level.
There are guidelines being established for what an officer can look for, should be looking for, to verify their validity.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and the Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft from the California Highway Patrol. Paul, the concept of specialization within the CHP, I know we've kind of talked a little bit with Victor about some of the various opportunities that are there. You know, not everybody's flying around at 100 miles an hour with the sirens going.
Right.
Is that a surprise to folks that are outside the department that there are some of these other options and opportunities that are available within the, I sound like a employment poster, don't I?
Appreciate that.
Yeah.
Keep going. Yeah. It's amazing the opportunities that you guys have with your department. Can you share more?
Yeah. But I would think that, you know, we see the badge.
Right.
But there's a whole lot of folks behind the badge, too. It's kind of like the doctor, and then you got the doctor's office and all the support staff. There's just a lot of people that you typically don't consider. What are some of those areas that are available? You know, we talked a little bit about some of the commercial stuff.
Right.
Okay. I would think that there's a lot of data and there's a lot of that kind of stuff that's part of the CHP.
Yeah, and it is typically surprising to someone when we're recruiting them, someone that's not employed with us already, when we start explaining some of the opportunities they have. More than that, we have officers in our own department who are surprised at times by what we do and what we have going on sometimes behind the scenes. Fortunate enough to have moved around the state and worked in different areas with this office all the way through our academy, even in Sacramento, working in the headquarters, you see a whole set of people, jobs and things, you know, the heart of it where the cogs are running and make everything go, because our vehicles come from somewhere. They get built up by guys that install every bit of piece of equipment that's in there, the cadets that are trained there, the policies that are put together, there's a whole manual production facility that prepares every one of our manuals and books and all the things that have to go out to every office. Like, it's like any other corporation that has to have things going behind the scenes. And when it comes to the officers, depending on what office you're at, obviously at a larger office, if you were in the Bay Area, you'd have many more opportunities where you have specialized investigations, where we are involved in retail theft now. Because the retail goods are shipped throughout the country, but specifically throughout California, is such a big state, and theft. I haven't worked in loss prevention for a number of years before law enforcement. I know how bad it is and how much theft can be a burden on a company. And
so because they're on wheels and the wheels are in California, that's kind of the connections.
And you think about this, every agency has its own resources. They have their own set of knowledge and skills that they bring. So a lot of these groups that we're involved in, or investigative groups that we get put into, are multi-agency. So you're bringing in the background of different officers from a city cop and a county cop, and you have federal investigators. You get FBI, CIA, and different, I don't know about CIA, but just starting throwing out acronyms there.
You were on a roll. I got it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And the BVDs and the...
Yeah.
They all come together, so you have a multitude of resources to pull from. Here locally, you know, you have the opportunity to work a commercial unit. You can do patrol. You can work days or nights. Working in the office, you can do accident investigation review. You can do public affairs like I do, which takes up a majority of my time, but I still get the opportunity to work patrol. We have officers involved in Joint Terrorism Task Force in Sacramento. So we work with federal agencies identifying threats to the governor and the constituents in Sacramento, San Francisco. You have the LA group of lawmakers there. And we're involved with protecting them and identifying the threats and protecting those guys. So
I would suspect that if you really wanted to specialize, that you're looking more at larger offices, just because you guys are more generalists.
Absolutely.
And you might have a little bit of knowledge, but you can't go full time into one area or another just because there's just not that much action around here.
No, and that's just it. If you really want to do something, you got to go where you're going to have a higher chance of doing it. But you also have to show an initiative for that, maybe putting yourself through your own training outside of the department, which some guys will do. Doesn't mean that you have to do that to get those jobs, but sometimes you just get fortunate enough to be in the right place at the right time also and have what they want for that position, or nobody else applies for
right,
it.
Yeah, or everybody else will step back, yeah.
Yeah. There is a lot of stuff that we can do out there, but we always fall back to our primary function, which is, patrol and being out there, and not just for writing tickets, but for assisting the community and, handling crashes, determining faults. Those go a long ways towards somebody's sanity and in an incident like that, something highly stressful. And so it's good to be able to help out with those things.
I would think that some of the primary agencies that you guys interact with, that there's some unique positions, like with Caltrans. Okay. Mm-hmm. I mean, if somebody's involved and maybe a civil engineer, or they've got some knowledge of that kind of stuff in the background that they can add to whatever situation is, or be quicker responding, or maybe even be concept called proactive.
Yeah.
In a lot of situations, just because that's their background, or if they're a pilot, okay, and that, you're by an airport or something like that, that you can bring in some of those outside skill sets to make it easier for everybody. Is that something that they look at, either in your profiles or your background, or just in general discussion?
We don't turn anyone away, but we definitely will look for that type of stuff in hiring.
Yeah, part of the initial intake, I think is your term, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. Intake.
Intake.
Ooh. All right. It's 8:30.
Hey, community. Times are rough right now. Retail shops may be closing, but the bulk flower market is still open and moving fast. We here at Bayer can help turn your flower harvest into cash today. Call Bayer Extraction House at 707-693-2222. That's 707-693-2222. Don't miss out. It is time to sell. Bayer Extraction House, your flower selling powerhouse.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:36. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft. Coffee instead of water, huh?
Need to pick me up this morning.
Oh, okay. I was thinking, set the bar low and then you can upgrade.
At least you're not telling anybody what kind of coffee I got.
No, that wouldn't be.
But it's good.
It's the size that's stunning.
Yeah. But not only do I have to pick me up this morning, it's got to carry me through the day and up until the night, so I'll be working tonight. So.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, have fun trying to sleep.
Yeah, it's not going to happen until after tonight. Get home late. But that's all right.
With some of the different opportunities that there are, particularly with state law enforcement, I think one of the areas that a lot of people are kind of surprised about is the protection details that you guys are involved with. That it's just... It doesn't look like you're driving a car around. It's something, or a motorcycle. It's something a little bit different. What does it take to be part of that element of the CHP?
Yeah, it's just like any other special position that we have. I haven't personally worked on. I've worked with the guys when I worked in the Monterey area. So you can imagine there's a lot of money there. A lot of politicians come for fundraising. There are a lot of events at Pebble Beach, things of that nature. So there was a lot of activity where you would get to participate and assist the like the governor's protective detail or the other what we call protective service detail. I think it's PSD. I might get my acronyms messed up on that, but assisting those guys, the application for that is just like any other position that you have. But what they're looking at there, instead of like your experiences or training that you have, maybe it's more about your how you carry yourself, how your uniform looks,
It's presentation.
You're going to be next to some important people. You need to be fit. Need to be. Look good. Those things help. I will say it's just how it is. I haven't done those jobs and I haven't applied for one. I've known some guys that have done them. They're fun. So you start doing stuff like that. You do get to travel. I mean, there are perks to doing it as well.
I would think it's a totally different type of routineness to it than what you experience when you're a road cop.
It's got to be like a totally different job, which a lot of our specialized positions are. It's kind of like stepping away from our department in a way. You're not doing the same old thing. It is a break from what you normally do. But always keep in mind that who we're representing when we're doing it.
I would think it's almost like an adjunct rather than the primary. Now, do those positions all source from being a patrol officer early on, or can you jump in and say, okay, I'm going to sign on as an investigator for the CHP?
No, it doesn't work that way. No, you got to pay your dues, more or less, not to say that somebody that just came onto the department can't get a specialized position, because it does happen. But typically it's somebody that comes in later in life. Maybe they had another career before that they have some expertise that makes them a good fit for a position.
So somebody could, as an example, be a DA investigator sent on with the CHP as an investigator.
They wouldn't be able to do that, but they would have to come in as an officer. You'd have to go out and work your patrol and apply for an open position somewhere. So
not a lateral.
We wouldn't do a lateral. Our department doesn't do laterals right now from other agencies. You have to start over and go through our academy. But it has been looked at over the years, and that's a consideration, especially now as we move forward with having more a more difficult time, and all agencies are recruiting for law enforcement. We've taken a hit and trying to find the – we don't want to just start taking everybody. We're never going to do that because that doesn't make it any better.
Right.
We still want to find the most qualified, best people. And that goes back to our conversation before the last break, which didn't really get to answer. But when you talk about skills from someone and how we can incorporate that into what we do, and that is essential when we're out recruiting. We are looking for people that have some skill, something to bring to the department. If we just had the same people doing the same thing every day, there's no room for growth. There's no way to learn, get better. Bringing in people that have different experiences, that have different career backgrounds, that can bring some skills to it and share with their fellow officer, it helps to continue to build what we're doing. So that's the goal. Is if anybody ever thinks that they can't do the job because they sell houses or work in a bank or sell cars or mop floors or build houses, all of that stuff is hugely important. The skills that they're developing and utilizing there translate over to what we do. And I encourage anybody to come talk to us if they're curious.
What was that hand gesture thing there?
I don't know. I was motioning them in. I can't see it. I'm like, come on in.
Yeah. You know, I see.
My Louisiana friendly. Yeah. Come on in, neighbor.
How different is the culture from a big office versus a small office?
I've been in both, and it's different. You know, a smaller office really encourages you and enables you to have tighter, close-knit relationships. And in a bigger office, you just there's more coming and going, and you don't get to know everyone kind of like you do here, as opposed to being in, like the Bay Area or Sacramento, a large office.
Well, you have to have a barbecue trailer then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's easier to coordinate a luncheon at the office with a smaller office. So.
You knew we were coming back to food sometime.
Yeah.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:42.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Paul Kraft. So, Paul, the challenge of trying to maintain the abilities and the skill sets of being a generalist, at the same time being torn to be a specialist in some areas, how do you balance it? I mean, is there you get 25% of your time doing this, and you get 50% doing this, and 20, or is it more ethereal and just kind of flows and ebbs based on whatever today might present?
Yeah, that's usually what it is. It's what needs to be done right now. What's the most important? It's just prioritizing what you have. Most of our officers are out there just on patrol having to prioritize calls. And that's not that difficult because we know what's more serious, what requires priority response.
So dispatch doesn't have to clue you in on that, or dispatch is doing some of that?
We work
too
together on that. So the more information dispatch can give us, the better informed decision we can make on what's needed. So if there's two crashes that are pending, does one have injuries? Is it closer? Is it in the city, or is it out in a rural area where it's going to be a while for someone else to respond?
You would be the quickest.
Or is there another agency that could assist for a little bit till I could get there? So we have to weigh all those things. When it comes to working in the office and then having multiple duties, it's much of the same thing. What's more important right now? Obviously, patrol. I've talked about having to cover some patrol right now, and I'll be working tonight. That's because that takes a priority over other things that I have going on. Here was important, so I made that a priority to come in and see you because you're so important to me and us.
Yeah, you're peddling hard already. We still only have a minute left.
Yeah, that's us. I'm trying to wrap it up right there with the.
I know, just drag it out.
Tie bow on it.
So do you guys? Oh, tie bow, huh? Billy Banks. Okay.
Tie bow.
Do you guys understand the other shifts also? Like you said, okay, if it's rural, okay, do you know where the patrol officer or the deputy is? Say, or if it's, let's say it's in the unincorporated, but it's close to Rio Dale. Do you know what their shift loads are like versus you guys to see who has the flex to be able to get to a spot?
No, we don't typically. It's based on a call at the time. So yesterday at shift change, a crash on the south end. We already had an ongoing crash where the officers were there, where it was blocking the highway, blocking lanes, not having an officer respond. We look towards Rio Dale, Fortuna PD, Ferndale, try to see if those guys can respond to assist so we can get there. But we don't know what their staffing is or if they're even available. We just have to call at the time.
All right. So you got 20 seconds. What was it?
What was what?
Since you brought up the crash yesterday, blocking lanes.
Oh, it sounded like a moderate injury rollover. Wasn't there, but...
Well, you're the PIO. You're supposed to know all these things.
Yeah, I know. But again, I was prioritizing other things that were more important at the time.
Yeah, I don't even see your feet
maintaining
dancing.
Breath machines for proper function.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for coming by, bud.
Hey, thanks for having us.
See you in a month. See everybody else tomorrow.